Today on the Back Pocket Podcast, we get to have on Ben Zaver, founder of Seek, just launched the product in a successful manner. Ben, how you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, boys.
Yeah, dude. Good to be here. Absolutely, man. It's been a long time coming, I feel like. Andrew's been saying you've been just gleaming ear to ear in the WeWork studio. I've heard nothing but great reviews there. And a bunch of people have just told us to have you on the podcast. So we're stoked to have you, man.
Sweet, yeah. I mean, the WeWork boys are my biggest customers so far. So glad to be here.
Yes, he dropped off a nice box of Seek protein at WeWork. And I'm always walking out, grabbing a bag, ready to go to Alter. And that's my post-workout. So appreciate you, Ben.
At an undisclosed location, too.
Undisclosed.
Yeah, we can't be spilling any beans on this podcast. And I just want to say that if I feel discluded in any way from this WeWork facility, or not WeWork facility, this undisclosed location, then I will raise hell. I'll spill the beans. So just so you know.
And go through me as well, though.
Right, because you're also not a member.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. But you have stepped foot inside.
Correct.
Right on. Different energy in there? What's your review so far? I've never actually been in there.
Great energy. Honestly, would love to work there at some point once I get the finances in check, but great energy.
Love that, dude. Excellent. So, I really want to start in an interesting spot. We will get to Seek. I want to just say thank you for appointing me, Decky Ankle Weights, as the first sponsored Seek athlete. I just think with the NIL and the deals that we've been able to put in behind closed doors, I just wanted to say thank you for executing on this, giving me the opportunity to promote Seek and the Seekers, all the different people out there who are drinking the product.
Of course.
I've loved it so far. Just wanted to extend my gratitude to you, sir.
Of course. The Seekers. I like that.
Yeah. Just kind of came up with that. I don't know if that's what they're called or not. It might be throwing something out there that might be off brand.
Yeah, they might have to be in the future. I like that.
Okay, excellent.
The Seekers.
So one thing though, I did want to ask you. So you and I are both mechanical engineers here by trade.
Correct.
We graduated with mechanical engineering degrees. Yet you are venturing off into the content space. You're venturing off into the entrepreneur world. In everything that you're doing with Seek. So I just want to know kind of your background coming into this as a mechanical engineer and everything that we know about you. Like what was the push to entrepreneurism? I think that's a word. Regardless, I'd love to hear kind of that come up from being a mechanical engineer to where you're at now.
Yep. So I went to college at Mankato for mechanical engineering. It was kind of just always something I was going to do. Like, my family were all mechanical engineers. My dad's a mechanical engineer. My grandpa's an electrical engineer. So I just never saw myself like doing anything else. So I'm just like, I'll go see how it goes. And then I didn't really just like figure out I wanted to like start a business or, sorry, did I cut out here?
No, you're good.
You're good.
Oh no, we're good. All right. I didn't know I really wanted to start a business or get into entrepreneurship really until like my junior year. And how that came about was, do you guys remember that like super viral YouTube ad from Ty Lopez, the Here in My Garage thing?
Yes.
You remember that?
I do. So not. Like, what's the background on that?
It's basically like it's like a super viral like YouTube ad and people meme on it all the time. It's about, he's like selling a social media marketing course and he's like videotaping himself in his garage with like a bunch of Lambos. And he's like, here in my garage, like all you need is knowledge and stuff like that.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so social media marketing was like the big thing to start like 3 years ago, as you know, from like the butterfly and all that kind of stuff. And what I took from that is just kind of like, starting a business is super hard, but like some types of businesses, they aren't as hard as you actually think they are. For instance, like social media stuff, like I feel like people our age maybe even know more about social media than some older generations. So it just kind of gave me like the confidence to be like, okay, I can like start something for myself. And that's kind of where I decided I was going to finish my engineering degree, but I wanted to do something along the lines of starting a business. And in my case, I attempted to start a social media marketing company, until I realized how hard it was. And then I started reaching out to Brandon. So I actually interned at the Social Butterfly for a whole summer, basically.
Nice.
And how I did that was basically, obviously I had no marketing experience, and I just reached out to Brandon. I actually sent him a video of me just like, I think I was about to leave for a Vegas trip, and I filmed a video at like 3 a.m. in the morning before I left, just kind of telling him like what I could, like I basically was honest. I was like, I don't know marketing, but this is what I can offer you. I'm going to work my ass off for free. And he's like, thought it was like the coolest thing ever and pretty much like hired me next week. So
yeah, I was just talking to him this weekend on it, and he said that you posted it on LinkedIn and tagged him, and that was like your intro to your like, that was your intro, that was like you, your version of sending it to him, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's unreal, dude. What was the,
like, and at that point, I
love the strategy.
Yeah,
say that
you
again.
Gotta be different.
Was that
the, I was like, at that point, I had never made a video in my whole life.
That's
like, awesome. I'm an engineer, man. Like, I don't do that stuff.
Oh, that's epic, dude. Yeah, I mean, getting yourself out there, a little video content, I can relate to that wholeheartedly. I didn't have the same intention, but I currently work at Active Media.
Yep.
And I sent Antonio a birthday message. I send when I remember someone's birthday, or like that Facebook notification comes through, and I'm like, oh, I would definitely, I just want to like see how they're doing. I always send a video to say happy birthday, and it always starts with, this is your birthday song, it isn't very long, hey, happy birthday, blah, 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 blah. And in this case, it was Antonio, and I hadn't talked to him in 7-8 months, and shot him a birthday message, and he responded, love this, would love to grab coffee. And, or grab something to eat with you. And I grabbed coffee with him, and he explained to me what Active was up to, and I explained to him my current situation. And that's how the job progressed. I applied and went through the interview process, but that was sending a video and putting yourself out there kickstarted it all, which freaking rocked, Ben. You got yourself in the door with Brandon. And to this day, Brandon talks about that in like the highest manner. He's like, Ben took a leap here, posting it on social media, and it was the coolest thing. I had to hire him.
Hell yeah. You just got to do something different. Like, I was like, how is he going to, why would he respond to me? Like, I don't know. I know nothing about marketing. If I DM him, like, there's no way he's just going to be like, yeah, come in. Like, why would he? So I was like, I got to stand out some way. So.
Right on. I love that. So, and you're obviously a pretty sociable guy. And I think that people for some, like, I guess it traditionally, like engineers or just people who are in that trade are not necessarily the most extroverted, social, good at talking type people. Was this something like when you were going into this video, you're like, oh man, I don't think I could do this. Is this like, was this something that's totally against your grain, or is this, or did you always kind of feel like you had, this kind of like mannerism or intention within you?
I don't think I ever, so like, I'm not a guy that's going to be like posting on a story or like any social media stuff. Like before I started all this, like, I don't think I posted on my Instagram story for like 6 years or something. Like I'm just, that's just like out of my comfort zone. But I was like, if I want to get his attention, like I have to do this. Like that's, you know, that's the only way I saw it.
Nice. I love that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess. So after that, you know, you obviously graduated and everything. So, did you get an engineering job, or are you still working as an engineer? What's the progression since the butterflies, basically?
So I graduated May of 2020, which is obviously right at the start of the pandemic, basically.
Absolutely.
So I kind of had this idea for the business I currently run, which we'll get into, but I had that about a month or two before I graduated. And we didn't really know how serious COVID was going to be, but right when it got like pretty serious, like right at the start, I was like, okay, this is where like I need to go all in on this idea. Like if I'm ever going to do it, this is the best time to ever do it. So, yeah.
And that was in, so you've been basically working on developing the Seek product and the brand and everything. You've basically been running that for a little over a year now.
Close to 2 years now. Yeah. I think it's like a year and 8 months, pretty much. Yep. Working on it like all by myself. which has been honestly a super lonely journey.
Dude, the lonely journeys are the worthy ones, man. Yeah. You gotta go in. What is Yoakum's famous quote? Live without to go within, or
Go without to go within.
Go without to go within. Don't have the people around you. Go in within and develop and seek. This are you're before you started the selling the product and tapping into like the business aspect. You're able to hone. I'm guessing the mechanical engineering background, developing the. At least some. I mean, there's chemistry involved, right? There's is there heat transfer? Is like what's going on?
heat transfer. Thermodynamics out here.
Yeah, we got tons of thermodynamics going into this business.
Yeah, pretty much nothing in my engineering degree correlates to what I'm doing now. I don't think I've used any of it, but I don't do any like the ingredients stuff. I'm not really big into that. I kind of lean on my manufacturer for that. They're experts in like obviously protein and all the food stuff, so I kind of lean on them to do that. So really that whole 2 years was me. The good thing about it taking that long was I got all the chance to like learn about how to start a business, like all the tech stuff, just reading books on like business structure and all that kind of stuff. So I feel like I have a pretty good grasp, even though like I've only been in business for a week. I feel like I've been doing it for like 2 years now.
Nice. Yeah. So I think, it's pretty obvious, like, you know, you're not going to be using the heat transfer, the thermodynamics, all the slew of classes you took those 4 years and, you know, worked really hard on to understand and conceptualize what the hell's going on. But personally, I'm not using a lot of that stuff either. And I have an engineering job. Now, granted, I'm doing a lot of, you know, more civil applied stuff, and I use my engineering degree to a certain degree, you know, every single day. As like that's just in my job title. But I do think even if I take that out and I apply, and if I were to just look at like my engineering degree applying to back pocket specifically, I think the biggest thing that I've taken from engineering is just the idea that there's always a solution to a problem. And that there are ways to figure things out, and that there's multiple ways to figure things out. And there's always a way to kind of progress forward. And I think that kind of problem solving that you had to learn and develop that skill in engineering, where you're being taught things you barely know, and then you're being tested on things you barely know, and then eventually you're going to show up to a lab and apply those very things that you learned and tested on to make a product or to you know, to achieve what they're asking. So I thought that really the problem solving aspect of mechanical engineering was like the biggest takeaway for me. Would you agree to that to a certain degree, or what was maybe one thing that you took away?
I was exactly going to say that. Like, if one thing it's taught me, that like literally no problem is impossible. Like, they give you these problems in like thermodynamics and like heat transfer. You read it and you're like, how does anyone ever know this? But like, you eventually figure it out. Like, and I think the problem-solving aspect of engineering is helpful in any industry. So it's like, that's been a really big, really good tool.
For sure.
Gotcha, man. And I guess the big problem that you went to solve was what's the competitive edge of Seek. So I'd love for you to like break down a little bit about Seek and give our listeners, you know, why it has to do with removing... Is it lactose? Removing lactose from the supplement, and you're still using whey protein. It's a whey isolate, but it doesn't have that creamy taste that most post-workout protein shakes have.
Yeah, and removing the lactose is part of it. So this is how I basically explain it. Like, you've probably had a protein shake before. You know, they're usually like the chocolatey vanilla flavors that are kind of thicker, like a milkshake almost. I'm sure you guys have all tried those.
Totally. Oh, yeah.
So like the competitive edge is that we made a protein called clear whey isolate protein. That's more the consistency of like a juice or pre-workout. That's how we explain it. And it's fruity flavors. So it's supposed to be a more like refreshing alternative than the thick chocolatey protein shakes. I actually have the bottles right here. So we got strawberry.
Nice.
And mango pineapple. So those are the two flavors we started with.
Nice.
And you guys have both tried it. So, you know, it's kind of hard to explain the consistency. Like, it is really like a sports drink almost.
Yes. Yeah. It's got.
Would you like, explain it like that?
Yeah. It's got that tangy punch that you would assume to go along with one of those. But it's got a little bit of weight behind it, dude. It's got a nice girthy taste in terms of, like, if you drink Body Armor, I guess would be a good way to describe it, where it's not like incredibly thick and like chunky, or like it's not incredibly thick where it's overwhelming to drink. It's actually more refreshing.
That's what you're going for.
Correct. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. As most investors would ask, like, what's the problem you're solving? Is the problem you're solving here the what you had just described, or is there a bigger problem that we're trying to solve with Seek?
I mean, I would say that is the problem we're solving. Like, people that don't like the current taste of their protein powder and just don't take it because of that, or like have to just like choke it down, basically.
Right.
So, and then there also is like what Andrew mentioned, like the lactose thing. So it is lactose free. It's made out of whey isolate protein. So a lot of people that are lactose intolerant really like that. That's not like a new concept by any means, but the consistency concept is really the difference.
Cool.
And you're talking to a guy who is lactose sensitive. I wouldn't say I'm intolerant. Let's minimize my, the extremes here. Sensitive. I'm lactose sensitive. I stay away from, like, I used to drink Muscle Milk. And what was the Optum Nutrition, like those big jugs? For football, like, I'd be pounding that and my stomach would always turn upside down and I go take a massive shit. And I was like, I can never retain. Yeah.
Oh, yep. Hey, we're taking those guys down soon.
Take them down, Optum Nutrition.
I don't know why I have that, dude. Someone at work gave me that the other day, dude. Yeah.
Well, this fellow's at Costco.
Dude, some guy who just like quit our job the other day. He's this meat castle, dude, and you know he went to Costco and bought four of these bags and used one, gave three of the others to me. So I have it, won't ever use it now that I'm a Seek athlete. That's exactly what you were talking about, Andrew, right?
Yeah, spot on. And as someone who, you know, lactose sensitive, but needs to be putting on weight. I work out and I don't eat a ton. So like I'm losing weight a little bit. Like some people call me Andy Feeble, Andy Frail. you showed up at WeWork one day and you were describing the product. My eyes lit up. I was like, this is the answer. Like I finally have something that I can drink. I was trying like some vegan proteins, but they're still whey based and milk based. Nothing was working that well, and you showed up at my doorstep, blessing in disguise, Ben. You're taking on the gap in my system and a lot of other people's systems, because we're really not supposed to be drinking milk. Lactose isn't supposed to be in our system.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I want to mention is I do kind of want to break the stigma of like protein powder being for like bodybuilders, because it's not. Like you use protein, like you need a high protein diet not only to gain weight but also to like, when you're losing weight, maintain as much muscle as possible. Mm-hmm. I feel like protein powder almost gets a bad rap to where it's like only for bodybuilders. Like when I was explaining this idea to my mom, she's like, oh, I would never take this. But like, if you're trying to cut and lose weight, like you want to have a high protein diet to maintain that muscle you have.
Right.
So yeah. That's one other thing I'm trying to.
No, that's great. I was trying to preach. No, that's great, dude. I was informed of that. My sweet, sweet girlfriend, when I was training for the Moab, I haven't really been drinking protein shakes since football, because I've also fallen under that stigma of like, I don't really need to recover my muscles as much when I'm not trying to build as much muscle.
Yeah, exactly.
But honestly, like I should be focusing on that. And Christina helped me out with that. So I started just rocking protein. So actually one question I did have for you was, what about the vegans? Do we have any solution for the vegans who don't necessarily want to dive into the whey protein?
We don't have a solution yet, but would love to do that in the future for sure.
Cause guess what? The first thing Christina said, cause she tried this stuff too and loved it. She was like, what about what about introducing or swapping out the whey for like pea protein, or swapping it out for something that's just like 100% vegan? Because you've already listed and attacked like all the other hotspot categories. If you pitch vegan to these people now on top with Seek, it could go global.
That's the goal eventually. Like, really the only problem for me right now is like, I have to order so many bottles up front that like I can't afford to like do two products right now. It's just way too much money. Like, it's already way too much money. Like, I think you guys have seen the videos of all the boxes in my basement.
Oh yeah. How many boxes did you have? You had a whole, all right, first off, you blasted off, this is amazing, you blasted off a message in the WeWork chat saying, would love some extra horsepower here, calling all secret headquarters. We need the strength. And you just loaded up your basement with boxes. How many bottles did you end up purchasing on the first go around?
So we had a semi pull up, and we had like the whole neighborhood helping us pretty much. And it was 14 pallets of protein, I think 700 boxes, and like 4,000 bottles. So it was like over 10,000 pounds of protein.
God. Oh my God.
Wow. And then lo and behold, you know, you have all these boxes in your basement, your inventory stocked. And then I get to see an Instagram reel and a TikTok come through my feed of a receipt longer than just a massive receipt of many, many orders.
Yeah.
Walk me through how this came about.
So the crazy thing about that is like that what happened is I got a video go viral on TikTok. That's why I got all those orders. And that happened, I think, 4 or 5 days before we launched. So prior to that video, we had about 6 orders, I want to say, mostly from friends and family. And I had this video that went viral. It was basically us sampling in Minneapolis, just giving out samples. And we gave it to this construction worker guy who was just an absolute goon. Like, he had to dip in and stuff. Like, he just loved the stuff, and he like gave it a 10 out of 10. But I didn't think it was like the best video because it was kind of long and stuff. So I like delayed posting it for like over a month. And then 4 weeks before launch, like I had nothing to post. So I was like, all right, whatever, I'll post this video. It's not very good. I post it and it gets like 500,000 views. And my phone just like starts blowing up with orders. And I think in one night we got like 200 orders or something. And prior we got like, we only had 60 total.
That's
so
amazing.
It was literally insane.
Cha-ching.
TikTok is the move. Let's just say that.
Yeah. We've talked about this constantly on this podcast about like that, this exact story, not this exact story, but a very similar thing where, you know, you post on TikTok, a video goes viral, it's linked to something that you have in your bio that's directly tied to the video. And then you all of a sudden now have a recurring like audience base or in a community surrounded behind, exactly what you're looking for. And I think it's just the coolest thing that like no other social platform can basically claim at this point. And amazing on your end for, you know, having the content first and foremost and putting that out there, because, you know, starting out, so many people start different things but don't have a content strategy lined up behind telling and informing people about what the hell they do. And your content strategy has caught my eye since you've started, and you've already been rewarded for it, and how you've pivoted and like reacted. Like the fact that you had that construction worker video go viral, you get the 200 orders, you then make a video of the orders and that goes viral. So now you've just doubled down and created like this awesome little community who is just a bunch of seekers, dude. I mean, that's just dope, man.
The seekers. I do also want to mention that I posted probably 30 to 40 videos that absolutely flopped before that.
That's fair.
So it's literally all about consistency, and you never know which one's going to do good. Like, I had no clue. Like I said, I had that video on my camera roll for like a month, and I was like, I had nothing else to post. So I posted it and just went crazy. So that's the only momentum you need for your next videos now. Cause like right off the bat, that the video of me with the shipping labels, like going out the door, that already got like 4,000 views right off the bat from that viral video. Mm-hmm. So your next videos just keep getting more momentum and momentum. And it's like, it's crazy. You just need one really good video and you're like set on TikTok for the most part.
Yeah. Amen to that. You want to grab your camera real quick, restart.
Oh, yeah.
some of the comments on this TikTok video are amazing too. You had 500,000 views and nearly 500 comments, and like some of the good ones, like this guy just goes, "Hey, respect though. Those workers could probably use the extra protein more than just some schmuck y'all would have found on the sidewalk." Like, it's perfect timing, right? You're not going up to a stranger. You're finding like some guy that's working his ass off up on whatever you call those, like those ladder
scaffolds.
Scaffolds, thank you, Declan.
We had him come down from the scaffolding, actually.
He comes down from the scaffold. You shouted up from the sidewalk, and he goes, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Wait, what was this like the project down off Washington? Or where were you?
It was right like outside.
Freehouse. Yeah. Say that again.
Right outside Freehouse, next to like Barry's boot camp. Kind of like in that. It's not the project you're talking about, but
I know. But I'm just thinking, like from a worker standpoint, like if you watch one of your workers go down to respond to someone handing out protein, that's electric. I love that.
Oh, dude, that dude is electric. Like, I even had like the video just too long. He was electric the whole time. I just had to cut out so much stuff. Like, we had a whole conversation after I had to cut out that I think would even do good too. So,
there you go, dude. Release a little part two and see what happens. Who cares?
I did a couple more videos of sampling in Minneapolis from that day. So,
yes, I did see. I've seen a few of those already, and that's just awesome, man. So now you've built some momentum, right? I mean, this is literally we're recording this podcast on October 26th at 5:30 p.m. I mean, you've built this momentum. This all happened what, like within the last 2 to 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, I mean, it happened last week. So
you're right. Yeah.
We launched on Saturday, so it's been like five days since we launched.
Insane. What's next?
Yeah.
No, I think a better question is.
Oh yeah.
It's a year and a half, a year and 8 months of work. How you doing, man? How you feeling?
That's a good question,
dude. It doesn't even feel real. Like it's just been going on for so long. I don't even feel like a CEO yet. Like it hasn't hit me yet. I don't know, but it feels amazing. Like starting off so well, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine this was the. This was like the perspective you had of the initial start. Like you said, 60 orders came in. You were like friends and family. I put a lot of work into this. Let's drip line this thing, figure out, you know, some of the gaps in the system, and then we'll scale. It comes in right away. I mean, kudos to you. You had your ducks in a row. You were lined up, ready to go. I mean, that's amazing.
Thank you. I mean, TikTok was always kind of like my strategy. Like, even 2 years ago, I was like, dude, this would be an amazing journey to like have on TikTok. Like, I didn't obviously know like I was going to get a viral video like that quick. But like, I just knew if I kept posting this kind of stuff and like went as big as I did with like getting 14 pallets of protein, like I think that's pretty interesting in itself. Like, I just knew one of them, if I kept going, would blow up. So,
yeah, man. And I guess a follow-up question. Pre-launch, pre-viral video, you could tag one word, one emotion to your how you were feeling. What would that be?
Like right before we launched, basically?
Yeah, before we launched, you had, you know, you put in all this work. You didn't know what was going to happen. What emotion were you feeling?
Kind of just like relief. Like I've just been working on it for so long and like, I set aside like my engineering career to kind of this, and it was just kind of relief that I actually got to that point. Like I had a product that I was proud of to like show to everyone and have everyone try it. It just honestly a really cool feeling. Just like, I would say even close to 8 months ago, I didn't even know if it was going to be a thing. Like the amount of times I like went back on if I should do this idea or not is like insane. And like, shout out to like Hannah Perez too. She helped me a lot throughout the journey to just kind of keep going. And yeah, honestly, just relief when we launched, seeing all friends and family try it. So
that's awesome.
That was super cool.
Yeah, no, that's a testament to like your hard work and the idea that like you got to keep going regardless of, you know, maybe how you're feeling or the situation that you're put in. And like, so you ordered 14 pallets of protein. Like, what was the order like when you first sourced all of this stuff? Like, walk me through ordering that amount. Like, where are you getting this from?
Oh, sorry.
You're good.
So at the start, we were looking, just kind of looking at every manufacturer, just kind of seeing like the lowest order quantity that they could possibly do, somewhere in like the 140 range of bottles, somewhere in the 500. And then this company that I ended up actually going with, the lowest they would possibly do was 2,100 bottles per flavor, which if you do the math, it's a lot of money up front. So we talked to them initially, and then like we were like, okay, that's just way too much to start. Like it's an insane amount. But as we like got almost a year into like sourcing this product, we were like, these are really the only guys that'll make a product that we can like stand behind and like is actually good. So we're like, if we believe in this product, we gotta just go for it. And so it was a lot of long conversations with my family, my mom and dad, and we're like, and they're just like asking me like, if you believe in this, then we gotta go for it. And so we did.
Right on. Was there a little bit of pressure in terms of like, I'm sure there was a little bit of pressure in terms of like the funding and however you got that, initially coming up, like, was there any doubts, or was it just like, if we're going to make this decision, like we're going to have to go through it, like kind of walk me through a little bit of those emotions and kind of how you overcame some of those initial hurdles before you make this big purchase.
It still is a lot of pressure because so me and my dad basically have funded this whole thing. And it's a lot more money than I'm honestly comfortable doing. But like I said, like my dad was like, if you believe in this, like we got to do it. Like, it's a good enough idea. Like even just like asking like some of my workout friends if they've ever heard of the product, and the fact that like people have been working out for so long, hadn't even heard of it. I'm like, dude, this is like not a well-known product. Like, we got to go for it. And it's something that I personally use every day. So I was like, it's great that I get free protein out of it. So.
Yeah, man, that's incredible. I mean, that's awesome that you're in it with your dad. Your dad believes in you to the extent that he does to make this dream a reality and to already have the success right there. I know your dad's just like, he must be fired up. How's he doing?
Dude, he's doing good. The craziest part is like 2 years ago, I remember telling him about like my marketing strategy, and I was like, Dad, just trust me on this TikTok thing. Like, it's gonna freaking work out. And I remember I was like 30 videos in, and I'm like, crap, like, I don't know, like, I got to make this work, like, just to show my dad. And like, when that video went viral, like, my phone was just blowing up. I just remember running to my dad. I was like, Dad, we finally got one. And it was just a super cool moment because it was something I've been telling him for like 2 years that's going to happen. And granted, it's one video, but hopefully we'll have plenty more in the future because that's for sure the plan.
Right.
It's a foundation, man. Reoccurring purchasers. It'll happen. You start running, you run some ads behind that, you retarget those purchasers, maybe start a subscription model, and bam, we got an annuity every month, and now you're golden.
It's just that easy.
Every single business pitch with CPG products, it's everyone saying, let's start that subscription model. And you're like, okay, let's see how it works. So you have Seek going, you've been grinding on that for nearly 2 years now. What else has been going on in your life? Like you've taken on this entrepreneurial venture solo. There's probably been 100 other things happening where you're like, okay, I need to like make some money here. I need to have some fun here. I can't be only thinking about Seek. Any big highlights that you want to share?
A lot of DoorDash. That's pretty much how I made my money. Basically what I would do is like, work on Seek all morning. Well, first, like I usually work out every day. So I usually work out, work on Seek, and then like over lunchtime, maybe like an hour or two a day, I would like just do DoorDash just to like cover my monthly expenses and stuff. And then I'm obviously living with my parents, so that cuts down on it a little bit. And then just work on Seek all night after DoorDash. And that's pretty much all I've been doing for the past 2 years, working out, DoorDash, making TikToks, and working on Seek.
Nice, dude. That is that's a cleansing and refreshing thing to hear, dude. I mean, shout out to DoorDash. We can't say enough good things about the company.
Oh yeah, dude, it's so clutch.
So you and that's basically just delivering orders. Like, what do you have to deliver pretty far, or is it pretty convenient in terms of like who's ordering on DoorDash?
No, it's super convenient. It's like, well, I live in Maple Grove, so there's some pretty like high volume areas, I would say, but like if I I would basically just go to like the Chipotle by my house, and there's pretty much an order like every 5 minutes. So
that's insane. Just pushing.
Insanely convenient. And yeah, they actually pay super well if you go like over lunchtime. Like you can make like 25, 30 an hour. So I just do that for like 2 or 3 hours and then call it a day.
Isn't that insane how you can do that nowadays? Like DoorDash wasn't a thing even a decade ago. And you have an outlet of cash flow that covers you for the month, allows you to do Seek, allows you to do other things in your life. And like that's just like when people tell you that they can't do something for whatever reason, like again, going back to kind of this engineering thing, it's like there's ways to figure out this stuff out. And you find the DoorDashes and you find different models that work for you because of like this idea that like there's no problem that you can't solve. I just think it's fascinating.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'd love to hear also just like what you're thinking for future TikTok videos, dude. I mean, you got all the eyes on you now. How are we pivoting?
Yeah. We actually decided like last week that like we're not going to spend any marketing dollars and only focus on TikToks for the next month or two here, because we've sold about 10% of our inventory already just doing that. So I was like, and I honestly haven't been putting that much effort into the TikToks. I think starting this week, we're going to be really putting effort into getting videos out once, twice, three times a day, maybe even. And as far as like the videos go, for sure, sampling in gyms, those videos have been performing super well. It's a good way of like me explaining my product without like actually just saying it to the, like I'm saying it to the person sampling it, kind of explaining what the product is, which is a super good way to just like say what the product is. And obviously people trying it and liking it is super good. I do want to like these probably won't be like more viral videos, but I do kind of just want to document my journey and just hopefully like inspire someone along the way. Cause I remember when I was starting, like it'd be kind of cool to see something like that.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. I mean, I noticed in the comments too, like a lot of the virality came from Minnesota viewers. Like the comments were like, love seeing a Minnesota brand. Shout out to MN. I'm buying because this guy is a founder here in the Twin Cities. Like that's like, you know, the support's here. Twin Cities love to the ride or dies for their thoroughbreds that are grown within the cities. Is there going to be a progression of getting the products into like face to face? So you're doing these reaction videos, but do you have plans on like doing like a booth setup somewhere and trying to get people to come and approach you at a certain event? So I know there's got to be some like fitness things coming up. Maybe that's coming maybe towards a close with the winter season coming. Mm-hmm. Are you planning on doing any booths, like trying to get that more of the one-on-one interaction?
Yeah, we're trying to get into a bunch of gyms to sample, a bunch of local ones for now. Shout out to you guys for the tip on dominating the sandbox.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Definitely took that one. That's definitely going to try to get into some local MN gyms. I'm already in the works with that a little bit. So,
if you had a desire on any MN gym, or a handful of them, I would love you to list them off, because maybe there's some that we know, because Decky and I love to
we've worked out the sandbox once or twice.
We've worked out in the sandbox.
I would say Barry's is definitely like the target market I'm trying to go for, kind of a little bit like the younger crowd. So I know you guys got a couple connections there, so maybe we can figure something out.
Yeah, you gave Sophie product already, right? At Barry's?
I did, yeah.
Nice. And then you given any over at Alter yet?
No, that's another good one though. I would definitely look into.
Yeah, we can put you in touch there, and then I bet the Mini Hustlers would like some product, or they would be a good connection. I know Lo works at Basecamp. You already got them?
Yeah, I sent them some.
Sick. And then Seek. Sorry. Embrace North. Yeah, that would be the other one too. For sure.
Ooh, that'd be a good one.
Yeah.
I think they're, you know, the Movement Culture event, it's kind of like a Linkage Rant coming up. It's like a networking event in like 2 days.
Yes.
I think Movement Culture is also a sponsor for them, and Seek is as well. So I'm sure we'll get to talking there.
For, definitely, you're talking Embrace North?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Embrace North is a sponsor there too. And so is Seek. So.
Gotcha.
Sick, dude. Well, perfect.
Yeah, I think there needs to be a video of you in the ice water drinking Seek. I think that's a shoe one.
Oh, for sure. I've never tried an ice dive.
Dude, well, that is going to be changed this winter. You're going to need to jump
or
in.
Or any there. Of those like recovery methods. That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
Like cryogenic chamber and crap.
No. We're staying away from the high tech stuff, man. No. We're jumping in lakes and we're getting in cold tubs. And that's our winters. That's what we look forward to when the snow falls.
Yeah. I got to do that with you guys sometime. I'd love to do that.
It was one of the more fun things we've ever done at the beginning of 2020 when it first started. Well, not the tradition of jumping in, but just like when Embrace North really first started kicking off, we started going to it. And it's crazy to see where it's grown now. I mean, these guys are, you know, they have a full gym. And Luis is the guy who runs it, Luis Leonardo. He's a Guatemalan guy, and he freaking rocks. He's going to love your energy. But yeah, just, I mean, you got to jump in.
You got to jump in, join the movement. I mean, it was one of the coolest things for us as well to be a part of the initial launch of Embrace North. Like, Embrace North just started as a couple beanies, and Luis saying, hey, like, I think you guys would be fun to have. Like, you guys should come hang with me, and we'll jump in the ice water. And Deck and I were like, sounds fun.
That's
and
awesome.
We asked a couple friends, and Jason Coons asked a couple friends, and we jumped in the ice water at Lake Cedar. Or Cedar Lake, and it just took off. I mean, in 7 straight weeks, it went from like 8 people to 70 people. And we're all working out with our shirts off, jumping into ice water, and then the local news comes and captures the moment, and it was just incredible. And Luis got this awesome traction, and he closed down his gym that he had inside the hospital in Edina. It was more like a recovery gym, and he closed that down and he opened up Embrace North and fully bought into this cold heat extravaganza. And now he has a full on turf alley with 2 saunas, 5 cold tubs, and he just brings these cold tubs and saunas to new locations. And the guy
he brings them to people?
Yeah, he brings them to people. He's the
psychic. Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
I didn't know they just started either. I thought they were like a pretty established company, honestly.
Oh yeah, they're established as of last year. That's as established as it gets, baby. You're an established company, are you not? It's been 3 weeks. Got your feet wet.
1 week.
One week. Yeah. Holy shit! I keep getting it wrong.
Sure, yeah.
That's freaking awesome, dude. I also really like this idea that you're talking about, of like having people try it, because it accomplishes like the face-to-face thing, which you should be doing anyways, and sampling, and then it also, like, you're capturing people's genuine reactions, and like that's just really, really good content. Just like the construction worker. So it's like and the construction worker is so unique too. Like, there's so many. Yeah. you could go, I'm trying to think if we can brainstorm some like other unique industries or people that you could give your product to that would be, you know, a little bit out of the ordinary but great for content.
Right when we got that guy, I was like, this is gonna be a good video. Like, just got guys like that, they're so good on camera.
They're great.
They're just
so they want to be
and stuff.
Yeah, we okay, so there's the construction market, there's the guys in the gym and in the fitness world. You know, you got your yoga establishment, of course, your core power. And that's a market that I think we could lean into. It's got the same vibe as Barry's. And Deck and I are always huge proponents of once you get to the mom market, you're pretty much in the sweet spot.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the crux of all of the entire commerce is the moms. It's
I know you guys love moms.
We're a pro-mom podcast, and we all know moms run the economy.
Is it true you guys have never talked shit about a mom on your podcast before?
Ooh, that's tough to say. Yeah, we've never talked shit about a mom on our podcast. I don't think ever. It's a good chance that we haven't.
Speaking of moms, yeah. Becky, do you know the video you sent of you reviewing the product?
Yes. Yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday. I was sitting right next to my mom, and I like watched that for the first time. and you call me like a son of a bitch at the end. And she's like, who said that?
Ben, you son of a bitch.
Ben, you son of a bitch. Got to give credit where credit's due. And that's to not say I've never talked shit about a mom, but I've definitely had moms talk shit about me. And I've also had a lot of moms that are not happy with my actions. Point in case right here.
She liked it when I explained it. So
okay, cool. Yeah, you know, your moms never want their kids watching vulgar content, but when it's directed at your son about his product and how good it tastes,
yeah,
you know, change the narrative a little bit. Moms tend to turn the heads. So
I said that's a seeker. We're good.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
The Seek athlete.
The Seek athlete. The first one.
Decky Seek.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, this didn't dawn on me when you first brought it up, but you're a Seek athlete, Duck. We need to tap in. We need more athletes for Seek, and I think the best way to do that is to tap into the college market. All right, now you can endorse college players with your product, and they can represent Seek.
Yep.
I think that's a shoo-in. We go back to Mankato. We start in the D2. Deck and I, maybe we rally some D3 players. Now they're D1.
Well, no, we rally D1 players. Thank you, Andrew.
Technically speaking. And I think that is the true market we need to hit is our college athletes.
Yeah.
I agree. I totally agree.
I also think...
I've had a lot of them reach out. What were you going to say?
No. Who's been reaching out?
I've had a lot of college athletes reach out, and I basically just like send them some samples and like try to get them a video, but I still haven't found a like good way to like get user generated like reviews into my content, because it's kind of weird like just posting a review with no context on my personal TikTok. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure out a way to kind of like weave that in.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe have them post it on their own and then stitch it.
What was that?
Have them post it on their own or post it somewhere and you stitch it.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah, and basically just have them do the same thing that I did and just call you a son of a bitch or something cleaner or something similar, where it's just like, damn, this is good stuff. And you're just sitting there like, sure is, brother, you know, something like that.
I'm trying to figure out like a framework to use. Like, you know how Dave Portnoy, like he rates his pizza on like the flop and like the crust. Like, I want to give him like framework to like rate it. So it's like for someone that's never made a video before, like they can easily make a review video.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to kind of figure that out, how they can like rate it, or a good like framework to use where it's super easy for them to do it, where they don't have to be like so original and make up their own like video, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Their own descriptor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Do like sweetness, or because you're you could just say how much it doesn't taste like a typical protein shake. Have a rate. You can have your own internal rating. I'm just trying to think of adjectives or phrases that you can cross over with like the brand of what you're trying to push, you know, trying to weigh those two options and see if we can come together with something. Because like I was thinking like sweet, tart, you know, the weight of the protein, those different descriptions are the things that make your product unique. But
for sure
you could also look into just the fact that like there's a general taste to a protein shake, and what could signify or what people typically talk about when they eat, drink their protein shake, just like people talk about flop in their pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, no, that's a really good concept. I like that. I was also thinking like I feel like you gotta take this product to like, where's like a really formal setting where they may not want to try your protein shake, but just would be fun to disrupt the area, like a library or something. It'd be fun to just walk in.
I love ideas like that.
Yeah.
Anything out of the box like that, I'm all for it. Okay. Like, I love those ideas.
Go to a GNC.
That wouldn't be bad.
That wouldn't be bad. You can get your product.
I was thinking maybe going up to the bodybuilders and just like having them try it and seeing what they, like the biggest guy I can find in the whole gym, and just seeing what they say.
Yeah. And then like have a watermelon next to you and be like, all right, now crush this watermelon.
Yeah. That's what goes good on TikTok. The most random stuff. You do something and then you see something insanely random after.
You should
have to go random, because after you go up to the biggest guy in the gym, you got to find the smallest person in the gym.
Oh,
and hand him that same watermelon.
You should track down like a group of runners one day and like try and run with them and be like, would you like to try my product? I was also thinking like after like a sporting event, like I'm just thinking about all the Twins, people run like leaving the Twins stadium and like you just being right there to capitalize on all the people like trying to, I mean, that's more at mass, like you're going to be able to have to distribute at high rate, but, and you might attract a lot of homeless people there too. But just thinking out loud here of different options. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, I think those sampling videos are for sure the move for now.
Yeah. Oh, it's perfect. It's genius.
It's love genius. Hey, Ben, you want to check your camera one more time?
Yep.
Make sure his camera's dialed, dude.
We're dialed on the back end of the back pocket.
And speaking of
the Ben, man, I want to ask you one of the back pocket's core questions.
All righty.
You know this. You've heard our podcast. This year, episode 341. Is that correct, Deck?
332. Congrats, boys. That's impressive.
332 podcasts in. We've asked this question every time. What is your average quality? Something you do well at times and other times not so well. You deeply care about this characteristic of yourself. And you're trying to get better at it every day. So, Ben, what is your average quality?
The one characteristic that I'm really like working on every single day and like really being conscious about is trying to be like more articulate with my thoughts and being better at like storytelling. I think that's one, even like being on this podcast and like preparing for it is something that like is really good practice. I feel like hoping to be on a lot more interviews in the future. So like just being more articulate and I don't know, thought out is something that I'm really trying to work on.
Yeah, I think there's a fine line and a medium that you want to hit. Like you don't want to have to over describe and over explain what you do, because we all can do that. You can talk about Seek and the development and the protein and every little minute detail, but you might lose someone along the way who was just asking how you're doing, you know, like, so there comes an aspect to there where you just like there's that fine line of like the elevator pitch essentially. And yeah, this podcast is a great place to start. I mean, we're obviously buddies with you, and that we know you already. So that's why I'm hoping that we were able to like give you this kind of comfortable feeling to try the pitch, because at the end of the day, you know if you're doing your job right, you know you're gonna have other people hitting you up for a podcast. You're gonna have people asking you on the streets when you give them the product of what this is all about, and people in gyms when you're ready to distribute and all this different stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of different opportunities where you're going to have to sell yourself. And being articulate is a great thing to focus on. So I love that average quality, man.
Yeah. And I'm still trying to figure out a good way to like tell my story. Cause this is honestly like only really the second or third time I've like told people that don't really necessarily know my story. So I'm still trying to kind of piece that all together. Cause it's been like a long journey, and you kind of got to like tell all the highlights of it, I guess, not like the whole thing. So
yeah, man, I mean, at the end of the day, just be yourself and share what happened. The story itself will evolve, and that's the coolest part. You're going to continue to work on it, you're going to continue to get better at it. And we just talked about, you know, for the last half hour, you know, how the power of TikTok, the power of many, the power of virality, and what that brings in. However, Deck and I, we are here today because we went the opposite route and we said, let's challenge ourselves to impact the one-to-one and replicate that time and time again, because that connection will never die if you continue to feed it. And we've been able to put this this method on repeat inside back pockets in several occasions. A great example is the Date Night podcast. We showed up at First Draft and we said, let's just record this thing with our friends. And Greg and Mira, thanks for hopping on the mics, by the way. And they gave us a practice run. And we were like, okay, this has legs. And for a good 9 months, we refined and fine-tuned this thing called the Date Night podcast. And it went from 2 people at the bar to 120 people at the bar. And 800 people tuning in on live stream. We challenge ourselves to impact one-to-one and let that word of mouth grow. And that's why, another reason why Deck and I brought up that booth interaction, getting into gyms outside of recording reaction videos and trying to seek that virality where the orders come in. You want to touch people and make them feel why you are working so hard. And that is going to give them even more depth to buying the product time and time again.
Yeah. And I think those sampling videos like almost checks all those boxes, which is why I really like that content idea.
At the end of the day, Ben, continue to refine your story continue to just evolve your story. I think that's like you talked about your average quality being storytelling. And I think that's perfect because your story is so new. All of our stories are so new. We're so young and we're going to continue to push towards our passion. That's why we're sitting here today, the three of us, is because we're following our passions. And it just so happens to also be a business, which is even cooler, so we can make money for our passion. And that story is going to evolve and it's going to be a sweet journey. I'm pumped with that answer. I can't remember if we've had that response before, the art of storytelling, but it is so important in today's age, especially as an entrepreneur, to have that awareness where you need to share your story. You need to have that comfortability in sharing your failures and your growth and everything in between.
Yeah. And I also think it's super important just to show like where you started from. Like, I know in like a year or two from now, I'm going to look back at some of those videos that I knew at the time were bad, but I just had to start somewhere. So it's like, I think it's good. It's good to honestly start from a, not like a bad place, but like not being very good at videos and storytelling. I think it's a really good start from that point and slowly progress. It's like a good step in like a character's journey, kind of.
100%, dude. Yeah. It's a hero's journey at the end of the day. And
yeah,
it's funny too, cause like you can also kind of tell your story differently to the people. And what's fun is trying to like read that person and trying to think what parts of the story that they would be interested in hearing. So like, I always compare like the dude at the bar versus like your grandma. Like your grandma's going to want to hear like every minute detail of like the come ups of the actual story and like more personal details. Whereas like the dude at the bar, if you just said, dude, I started this protein shake company, I like one of my TikToks went viral, I made another video of all the orders I got and then that went viral, they'll be like, oh shit, dude, like what's the name of this company? And then like elicit the questions from them so you can just easily answer and fill in the blanks from their curiosity. I've learned that as a tip just through explaining back pocket, because you know there's so many different people who will like see it on my hard hat and ask the question versus like you know the people at the bar. There's all kinds of different people that are curious. You kind of have to just tailor your story to different people, and that's why it's great to have like a story that has depth, right? It's because you can pick and choose what parts of the story that you want to tell to these people.
Yeah.
And there's a good use for almost every part.
And I think you'll never know what part of your story will resonate with certain people. So you just got to like post everything. Like I've been trying to do my best of like, even though it's not like the videos I want to be posting, like posting videos of just me talking about how I'm feeling in the moment, or like me, how I felt like getting all those orders. I just feel like someone out there wants to see that and someone finds that interesting. So
be relatable, connect.
Yeah, exactly.
That's relatability, cool. Man. Yeah. And the real way to do that, and it's cheesy. I've been saying it for well over a year, but the be you, like if you're yourself, you will bring in the right connections. And that's the coolest thing.
Go ahead, Andrew.
No, you're good.
A cool thing that I realized just from like the customer side of things, because so often we focus on like, you know, what we need to be putting out to the people to like attract the customers, or, you know, we're kind of just talking through like, what story do I need to tell? But if you flip it and look at it from like the consumer side, and let's play through the people who found you from the construction video, and now they've purchased a product and they enjoy it. Now they think that, now they feel special because they are one of the first people to be around the Seek Corporation. They feel at like a sense of pride being a seeker. Like when you find someone like a smaller influencer that's pushing like cool vintage stuff, or you find someone like yourself who's pushing like a really unique type new product that you really enjoy, like you're going to be a diehard fan and you're going to be wanting to know how this develops day to day. So almost think of yourself in that sense where it's like people are wanting to check in on how you're building this product and how you're doing this on a day to day. And that right there is the most replenishing thing, is just being able to have that touch point on a day to day, not necessarily what it is per se, but through that action of just like showing up every day, you'll find the things that stick and you'll be able to create a reel and a variety of the things you like to put out there. That was just something that I found unique just through, like, I found this really cool, or my girlfriend did, but I ended up starting to follow her too, just cause she hand makes like, different vintage tees and different clothing articles of clothing. And she's only got like 4,000 or 5,000 followers. She's in Florida somewhere, but she puts a drop out of like 50 different articles of clothing every single week. And she goes through her process every week of like how she's putting the stuff together. She goes to the vintage stores or the different drop zones to craft what she's making for the week. And it's just like so fun to track that. And I was thinking it through it the same way with you. It's like people are going to love your day to day in terms of like how you're pushing the product, what you're doing, all that kinds of stuff, man. So excited to see where that goes.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a long journey, man. There's going to be ebbs and flows, strikes and gutters, ups and downs, trials and tribulations.
The journey so far. I mean, literally
so
launched last week.
You're 1 week in, dude. You're 1 week in. All right, man. Here's another core question. So with this journey so far, you're a year and 8 months into Seek. You're 1 year into launch. You're 1 week into launching the product. Throughout this thus far, when pressure becomes stress and anxiety is rising, what's in your back pocket, Ben, to overcome these situations?
I don't have like a specific quote, but one like idea I always think of is like, you never know when your breakthrough moment's going to be. Like, have you guys ever seen that graphic where there's like a miner and he's like in a mine and he's like literally like one or two hits away from like hitting diamond. But
yeah. And then he like, some guys like turn around and they don't get the diamond. The other person continues to push forward.
Exactly. You never know when you're going to have that breakthrough moment. So you just got to keep going. And it's like the people that just keep grinding every day and keep putting themselves in uncomfortable situations are going to be the people that are successful in the end, like most of the time, I'd say. So just keep going and your time will come. So
I love that.
And everyone's journey's different too. So it's going to take different amounts of times.
Mm-hmm. A great way Yoakum puts it, Austin Yoakum, I think he's like episode 322, or we had him on recently, but regardless, his mantra is keep chopping wood. You know, it's our duty every single day to keep chopping the wood, putting our best step forward every single day. And then when the tree falls, everyone congratulates you. Everyone says like good work. Like they applaud you. Then they didn't see the 15,000 swings it took to have that tree fall. You know,
exactly.
what you're excited because the tree fell, you can now process that into lumber and continue to build your foundation. But because that one tree fell doesn't mean you can't, that doesn't mean you can quit then. You have to continue to show up and continue to chop wood, knowing that you're building something bigger, that no one can really contextualize yet.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's the cool part about having that audience. That's the cool part about like having the, that drive every single day, because you're going to find that it's the coolest thing when you have people starting to congratulate you for chopping wood and for getting certain milestones that you don't necessarily throw out there all the time. And there's those little wins that people will start to see and, hold on to those. And I think it's cool that we've gotten you on now at like week one, because it's going to be sick to check in with you on like week 60, you know, and just see.
Yeah, I'd
the
love
progression.
To be on like a year or two. Like, yes, yeah. It'll be so much different. Like, I don't even have any like 5-year goals. Like, I'm literally like, my whole focus is on selling what I have right now. That's all it is. Like, all my efforts going towards that. Like, so
it's the way to do it, man.
It'd be kind of cool to see. Yeah,
absolutely. Set the milestone, go for it, keep chopping wood, pivot and go as you please. And, at the end of the day, it's all a challenge, man. So that's the best part about it. And with that, I would like to know, I think you've listened to a few of our podcasts and know that we usually ask for, you know, a challenge. And that's how we have you on this podcast. I can't remember who challenged you to, but, or challenged to have you on, but is there anyone that you'd like to see on the back pocket or anyone that you'd want to challenge us to get on?
Shoot. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head. I'm going to have to get back to you about that one.
No worries, dude. The challenge is out there. It doesn't
like
mean
someone that I know or someone like,
yeah, someone that you know, someone that you think would be good on the show. Anything like that.
Let me get back to you on that one. I'll have a good answer.
Cool.
The challenge is pending.
pending
challenge. The next thing that we like to ask recently, you heard Hannah talk about this.
Yep.
I'm wearing the hat right now. We're after this destination. Mars. It's this theoretical, but it's also real. Like, I'll be on that first shuttle to Mars. I've been talking about it for years. I even applied to it a year ago. They were sent, or not Mars specifically, but space.
Mars.
I applied to go to space through St. Jude's. Didn't get it. They went with someone that was far more qualified than I was. But space is in my near future. I'm ready to go to outer space. I'm ready to go intergalactic. And with that, Ben, I'm curious, man. What does Mars look like to you? What does it look like for you if you were to arrive on Mars? This is a new place. I'm curious on your vision
of Mars. So kind of like more of like a long-term goal of mine, you're saying, like, or like, I feel like there's multiple ways to take this question.
Yeah, dude, it's so funny. Like, most people take it exactly how you just described it back to us, but it's so funny. Like, we never contextualize it. We don't phrase it or contextualize it. We always just ask, what does Mars look like to you? So I love it. Yeah. Take it that way. That's the best. That's the way people have taken it so far.
You could take it as like a survival question, like, what are you bringing to Mars to survive? But like,
correct.
I'll take it the goal away. I'll say I don't really have any like 5-10 year goals. Like I said, I'm really focused on like just selling this off right now, and like I think good things will come from there. But I will say one thing I really want for my company is just to build like a really good team. Like, kind of how I explain it is like, if you walk into a club and you see us, you're like, holy shit, who? Like, I just want like a super solid like team, and like, I don't want to like come up alone. Like, I want to come up with a team. So that's kind of how I see my future, at least in the business sense. So
nice. Yeah. I love the aspect of a team, man. I think that's a great starting point in terms of what you're going to need. Cause to your point, no one's going to be able to do this alone. And you're gonna have to lean on people throughout this journey. And it's the coolest. One of my favorite things about just having a team is like being able to transfer the passion you have for Seek onto people who want to get themselves into being passionate, and like the communication and travel of that energy, travel of that passion is something that like it's hard to describe, man. And I'm excited for you on that. Yeah, you bringing a team, and if you're showing up the club, dude, I would suggest just like make sure you have fucking huge Seek chains hanging down.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, because everyone's gonna be like, holy shit, who are these guys? And I think if you're wanting to accomplish, you know, the presence feel, I would say that's step one.
I like that idea. Yeah,
easy.
Maybe a chain with like one serving of protein in it or something.
Correct.
The on-the-go use?
Yes. It would be silly not to have protein in the chain necklace. Always be selling. And always be recovering.
That's content.
That's content. That's bottomless content. I mean, you're going to just continue to think more on what more content you can possibly create. And, you know, with that, that's the thrill of the game, man. So excited for you, man.
Can I actually run a content idea past you guys?
Yeah.
Kind of curious.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I would consider myself maybe like a average, like above average, like workout person. Like I've been working out for maybe like 6 years now, but I don't necessarily know like the science behind it all. So like one, maybe, and I don't know whether it's like a show or a series, but I was thinking like I hire a personal trainer, I hire a nutritionist, and have them make me like a 1 to 2 month plan, and kind of like, I don't know what the goal would be. Maybe for me, like lose 2% body fat in a month or so. But every day I kind of document what I eat and exactly what the nutritionist tells me to eat and exactly what the personal trainer tells me to do. And just kind of document that journey. Obviously be good because it brings in the protein a little bit too, so I can talk about that as well. But I think it's also a valuable thing that people would want to know. And then just kind of answer like pretty basic, frequently asked questions along the way. Like, I don't know, more like on the nutrition side of what people might be asking. I don't know.
Interesting. So that you would want, you'd basically want to put yourself through a regime to better, like basically set some sort of goal for yourself, hire the personal trainer, hire the nutritionist, and then come out with that goal. What would be the goal from the content standpoint? Just people following that journey of how you're bettering yourself, essentially using that as inspiration?
Yeah, I'd say that. And also we'd be giving them everything I'm doing. So like every workout, every like food, whatever I eat in a day. So like they can follow along with it too, hopefully.
Cool.
So it gives them value in that sense, I think.
Yeah. You should do something along the lines of like, you tell people you're going to do something that they think you can't do. So like say you're going to do an ice bath this winter for 20 minutes. Like, do you think you can do that right now? Like if I told you like, Ben, on Sunday, we're going to go and do an ice bath plunge for 20 minutes. Do you think you can do that?
I don't know. I've never been in an ice bath. So it's like,
there you go.
Is that a hard thing to do?
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. I guess you don't have even the context of how hard that may be. But like,
can you do that?
I didn't think I personally could do it the first time I jumped in the ice bath, and we went for 5 minutes. And then by the time we were like, after 8 weeks of doing it over and over and over again, we went for 25.
So I'd say I could not do it then right now.
Well, no, I was using it as an example of like, you're going to commit to something where people, and maybe even yourself, are like, damn, this is kind of fucked up. I don't know if I can do this. To, I go through all the training, I follow my routine, I obviously take a fuck ton of Sikh protein, and then at the end of the day, I've now accomplished this, here's what I've learned, and you saw my journey start to finish. And then even to your point, you could document it step to step to step. I'm just thinking, I like the reason I pitch on something crazy is because like, it's going to challenge you mentally, and it's going to make you a better person at the end of it. And also, it's just going to be entertaining to follow to see if like, you'll actually accomplish it, you know?
Yeah.
So like,
I agree.
Crazy shit like run an Ironman, run 100 miles, ice plunges. You can take it however many different ways you want, but those are just some things that I have internally in my head of like, can I even do some of these things?
Yeah, like that.
So,
or maybe like road to like being able to dunk or something, I don't know.
Yeah, dude, like if
it's sad that I can't dunk and I'm like 6'2", so
well,
maybe that wouldn't be too.
We know just the guy to help you out. Our buddy Austin Yoakum, he teaches babies how to do basically any movement. So, and he's taught himself how to basically dunk. Like, if his hands were bigger, he may be able to dunk a basketball. But I think he can dunk like a volleyball. So definitely. Yeah. No, you definitely should. We should just connect you with him. He's a really cool guy, and he's also a trainer. So if that was something.
Oh, I already did send him samples.
Oh, you did? Perfect. Love that.
Yeah, I did. Yep.
Sweet. But yeah, what do you think about that? That was kind of how I internalized and spun your idea. But is that something that you see? Was that lining up with what your original idea was, I guess?
Oh, 100%. Like, I love, like, I think, like, challenges like that would, like, perform really well. And that's also, like, kind of something I'd be interested in doing, honestly.
Yeah. And I personally, just thinking of, you know, following what you're doing and everything, I would love to see if you could pull it off. Andrew, what do you, any ideas from your court over here?
Well, yeah, stuff like your dad's doing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, you could walk from West Hope to Hope. You could walk cross like country.
That's sweet.
Yeah, that's another level.
Inspired.
That man's inspired. He's retired. I was thinking of like different things. I was thinking like maybe like try to eat like 2 Chipotle burritos. Like I that seems awful difficult.
Eating 2 Chipotle burritos.
Andrew's going completely pivot with an eating challenge. I love that.
Who's that the Asian dude on Kobayashi, is it?
Kobayashi.
That's gotta be the next Kobayashi.
Right. All to promote all to promote protein.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would get creative. I mean, you don't have to figure this out right now, but just like, it's got to speak to you internally so you can be, you know, truly authentic about it. Like personally, I had never ran like a marathon or anything like that. And I like to push myself physically and do certain things like this just because it's so rewarding at the end when you go from a spot that just like, you don't think you can do it. And then you end up doing it. It's great. But like personally, I've never ran a marathon. I don't really see any too much value in like signing up for a marathon to run in, because that just, to me, I don't know, I just wasn't interested. But like ever since our buddy Mark Dowdle started running the ultra marathons and like that culture, I was really interested in that. And so, you know, I just kind of threw myself into a situation that I had an opportunity for and pulled off running 45 miles, and the longest I'd ever ran before that was 14. And I trained and did all kinds of different stuff and just got myself ready. But like that journey in itself, just internally being able to like accomplish something like that, unlocked something that was so much different, like something I never knew I even had. And there's so much
for sure
that it feels personally like there's a lot of depth to it. Like I walked away from that race and I had to really think on it for like 3 or 4 days to really internalize like what the hell was going on and how I kind of did what I did. And like now taking that little tidbit, it's helped me like build on to like the next and the next thing. So for you, I would love to see like you be able to capture the content behind all these different things, mix in your training, mix in the protein, mix in the brand, and like see what happens, man. Just throw it at the wall and see how you respond. I think it'll be cool.
Yep, that's the goal. Sick. One thing I'd say from like a content perspective, like, is, or I kind of lost my train of thought. What were we just talking about? Sorry.
The challenging yourself.
Yeah, the content. Cool.
And
I forgot what I was gonna say.
I mean, yeah, you started off with, you had your own version of challenging yourself. You're gonna go work out. You're gonna hire a nutritionist and document it for an end goal of being healthier. Maybe the end goal is to like, you want to talk on several podcasts, like your story, you want to share it time and time again, so you end up in XYZ. And I mentioned that because my dad was walking down the center of the country and his goal was to bring national awareness to spreading positivity in the simplest form. And that was the goal. And we had to figure out how to get there. And that we did. Sure enough, we were able to get on CBS Morning Show, which was the coolest thing. Work backwards from a goal and document it. I think that's where the real content will lie. You know, it doesn't have to be a 5-year plan. Doesn't have to be anything like crazy, but have put your mind in. It could be as simple as, I want to document selling my first order of 14 pallets of protein. And every single day you show, you know, like you slapping a stamp on a package and then kicking them out the door and it's gone. And that's on repeat. This thing, you know, you see the boxes trickle down and you only have one box left. I mean, that content can rock.
Yeah. I would take a picture of your basement or your parents' basement every day. That's where it all is sitting right now, right? Or in the garage. Yeah. Or your parents, what's the vibe of the household right now? Like knowing that they just inherited, you know, a lot of protein in their house.
Honestly, they've been known it's coming for like 2 years. So
they've had some time to prepare.
Similar, a lot of time to prepare. So
when you pitched them on the idea originally of like, hey, you know, you cool with having all this protein in your house. Like, was there any reservations on their end?
So when I pitched on the idea, we had no clue we were going to go like this big.
Right.
So I kind of like warmed them up throughout like a year of me working on it. And then like a year in is when we decided we're going to go that big. So, and they're like, it just makes sense to just keep it in our house, not buy a warehouse right away. Just kind of see how it goes. So,
right.
They've been super supportive in that sense, which has been super helpful.
Right. Yeah. As long as we just don't have any, like, you know, people trying to perform protein heists in the greater Maple Grove area who listen to the Back Pocket. I mean, God forbid if that happened. We'd be in a world of hurt. We need to get some security over to your place, man.
Seriously. We were worried about, like, fires, too, a little bit. Because, like, our boxes, like, stack up all the way to, like, our air conditioning vents.
Okay.
So we were a little bit worried about that, but we should be good.
Hey, well, it's a couple engineers.
Because that would be... Yeah, we got a few engineers in our household, so I think we're good.
Right. Yeah, what's the conversation at Thanksgiving nowadays when you got all these engineers? Is it a little too analytical for you, or is it... what's it like? I'm just curious.
I haven't really had, like, a time where we sit down and, like, actually talk about my business yet, because, like, it's been COVID and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't really had any of those, like, get-togethers where I've been talking about it, so I haven't had that dynamic yet, I guess.
It's okay. It'll come.
It's coming. It's upon you, man. It's coming.
Oh, it's coming for sure.
Yeah, family time, dude. Get ready. Get that pitch going. Family time. Yeah. We were talking about what your pitch is to the people at the bar. You gotta understand what your pitch is to grandma.
Yeah,
don't sleep on grandma now.
She might be
sleeping, but once she awakes, she's gonna want to know what's happening with C.
It's the time for seasonal pitching, for sure, and you just got to be aware of that, you know. There's a lot of holiday conversation, a lot of small talk coming up. You just got to know your pinpoints, so get ready.
Will do.
Get ready, Ben. But we're closing up here, man. One final question for you, brother. What did you learn today from the moment you woke up to when we're having a conversation?
I will say the biggest thing I learned is I got to be ready for these podcasts with my setup here. Took me like a good 30 minutes to figure that out, and I still didn't figure it out. So I think after this, I'm going to go research how to use a DSLR for Zoom. So that'll be a good thing to learn.
Yeah, if you want to connect your camera, you'll just have to get a Cam Link. Is what they're called.
Okay.
It's made by a company called Elgato. But really, that's if you want to be. I think I would recommend that if you want to be streaming, and like trying to make sure you have a high quality shot to display to people. But like for the purpose of a Zoom call. We just do this because we have it, and we stream all the time anyways. So, really, I would just get an iPhone tripod, and then and the camera you have now with your SD card, just get another SD, and you're set, man. Really, at the end of the day.
Fair.
And then, if anything, just make sure your Blue mic connects to your laptop and you're dialed. And then if you offer to other podcasts, like, hey, man, would you like me to record kind of like we were asking, they'll be like, oh, that. They're either won't be prepared for you, or they'll be like, dude, you're an OG. Like, this guy gets it. Yeah. That's of course, the vibe you want to display. So,
for sure.
Right on, man. Well, sweet. Ben, absolute pleasure having you on the podcast today. I'm glad we got to document week one of a phenomenal journey, and glad we could be a part of it, man. So, thanks for letting us have you on. Thanks for coming on. And stoked to see the growth of Seek.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. That's the coolest part of this, of being on the Back Pocket this early in your venture, is your weekend. We got the story. Cannot wait for what happens next. It's only the beginning.
For sure.
For now, that's a wrap here on the Back Pocket.
See you in double. Tell the whole squad out the back door, man, I think it's time to huddle. Yeah.